Hey, good morning, my friends. Day nine, the real you. In the book, I started with a very famous story attributed to two great rabbis who in 1945, Rabbi Eliezer Silver from the United States and Dayan Isidore Grunfeld of England, they were dispatched at the time as military chaplains to Europe to rescue Jewish children. A lot of Jewish children were put in monasteries and to be saved during the war. And thank God, due to some great Christians, there were a lot of, I don't know how many, but there were a number of Jews that were saved during the war. But when Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Silver, and Rabbi Grunfeld approach the priests in a certain monastery in France, asking for the Jewish orphans to be transferred to their next of kin, this is after the war, the priests insisted on documentation to identify the children. And when the rabbis were able to identify them, the priests said that the last names couldn't prove their Jewishness, and they were basically reluctant to give up the children. And the rabbis asked if they could come back that night. The priest reluctantly agreed, and these two rabbis came. Famous story. And they came in the evening when the children were already in bed. This is an orphanage in France. They were about to go to sleep for the night. The rabbis walked through the room, and they started to sing the Shema. And immediately, a number of small children began to cry out, Mami, Mamushka, Maman. And based on those responses, the rabbis were able to identify the Jewish children and return them to their relatives. And I share this story because, of course, these children had heard the Shema in their very, very young ages, as they were like literally babies and infants. And deep down, maybe even subconsciously, these Jewish orphans, left with just a fleeting memory of their beloved parents, they understood who they were at their core. And that's what the Shema is. It's that kind of prayer that expresses who we truly are at our core. But who are we really, deep down, metaphysically, existentially? And the Torah tells us, very, very importantly, gives us a certain hints that we are our souls and we are the deepest part and the holiest part of who we are. And I mentioned in the chapter, famous teaching, that if somebody is reaping their harvest and they forget a bundle, it's called shechacha, if you're a Jewish farmer in Israel, you're not supposed to go back and pick up what you forgot to harvest. It's really meant for the poor. And then the Torah tells us basically, so you basically accidentally left some grain and you forget to harvest it, and you're leaving it for the poor. And the Torah tells us you get a great blessing. Hashem will bless you in all of your work. It's in Deuteronomy 24:19. And Lubavitch Rebbe asked the obvious question, why does a person get a bracha for doing something, you know, accidentally? You just left a sheaf of wheat by accident. I happen to drop some money on the floor. Some poor person finds it, and I get a mitzvah. How does that work? The Rebbe explains, because when you do a mitzvah, even if it's not conscious, right? Since it's consistent with your underlying who you are, with your natural internal subconscious, which has a desire to do a mitzvah, we really believe deep down we are individuals who want to do the right thing. And that's why we feel good when we do a mitzvah. And that's why you get a bracha, because even if you didn't intend to do it, I'm not encouraging people to do mitzvahs mindlessly, but even if we didn't do it on purpose, since it's consistent with who we are, in the deepest part of who we are, we still get a bracha. And that's why when we go to shul or we pray, and even if the experience isn't the most inspiring, it still makes us feel good because we know we're doing the right thing. And it's not just the psychology, it's tapping into the deepest part of who we are. And this explains another very strange halacha, Kofinoso Achimar Rotsa Ani, famous passage in the Talmud that Maimonides quotes that you can beat up. I'm not encouraging this, my friends. But if a man is a recalcitrant husband and refuses to give his wife a get, the Talmud says, Maimonides quotes this, that you can hit the person until he says, Rotzani, until he says, I want to do it. Now, how could that be? That's a contract that's entered into through coercion. It should be null and void. Because again, all you're doing is sort of giving a clap to the guy on the external to bring his internal, to bring his external actions in line with what he's truly feeling. Because we believe deep down, I know this sounds very idealistic, we believe deep down he wants to be part of the Jewish people. He wants to perform the mitzvahs. He wants to do the right thing by his wife, by giving her a get. It's just, you know, the klop, the hitting the husband, is just helping him rein his evil inclination, which is preventing him from doing the right thing, which is really what he wants to do inside. So if a person drops money, another person finds, the donor is performed an action that is consistent with who he truly is. Therefore, he gets a bracha. It's a very beautiful way to look at ourselves. And it's not just an optimistic and sweet way. It's existentially, metaphysically, who the rabbis, the Kabbalists believe who we are. We are the holiest part of who we are. Of course, there are other things that get in the way. And that's what the month of Elul is all about, this 40-day challenge to get rid of some of those things so that our true essence can shine.